I hope you don't mind too much if I circumvent the subject. Of course, by doing that, I'll probably talk more about it than not. One of the reasons is that if I was about to talk about what's happening in music today in America, I'll have a heart attack on the stage, and I don't think you'll like to see that. I'm not too happy about what's happening. And I don't think it's a question of just the USA. I think it's all over. Let's put it this way. Every week in the New York Sunday Times, there's an article, and the article is usually titled, "The Death of the Avant-Garde." There was just something about the avant-garde that, whatever that was or is, that seems to be annoying everybody when it comes to music. Yet the unbelievable avant-garde art galleries in New York, on a Saturday afternoon, you can't see a picture. You have to wait in line to see a Jackson Pollock, more or less. And in thinking about this phenomena has affected my own music in the past few years. And I've asked myself some very, very devastating questions. And a whole series of devastating questions. The first question that I ask myself, is music an art form? Certainly if John Cage did the same thing in painting, I don't think you'll even know his name. He might not have been good enough. Certainly, no level of the notoriety. Why music? Why is music so entrenched in its music forms? And the notion, I speculate the notion, you see, I'm just a devil's advocate. I haven't answered these questions. Remember, I just asked these questions. And I've come to the conclusion that maybe music is not an art form, that there are really some things that you can't do, that you could do, for example, in literature, in painting, or in the cinema. I think that one of the reasons it can't be done is quite simply because music is so difficult to write. No other answer except that it's difficult. And we just don't have the talent around to handle new concepts or even think of them. Now I'm convinced about that. And I'm certainly convinced of it more and more in terms of, say my own students. I teach students on a master's and doctorate level. I don't teach undergraduates. I'm teaching in a very fine university for the past 12 years. And I came to this conclusion, not only because of my teaching, but being on various juries, establishment juries. I'm an establishment composer, in effect, of the International Society of Contemporary Music, other juries, internationally and otherwise. That why is it that I myself give the more establishment pieces by the younger people the award, and that the more adventurous, in quotes, I'm not that interested. And this happened to me just a month or two ago. And the reason is that the young establishment composer was guided in having the right kind of acquired skills to do what he or she wants to do. the one that wants to be original or creative essentially don't know what skills are needed for their originality, don't know what to use, don't know, more important, what not to use, doesn't seem to have the discipline, the focus, only because he or she does not have really strong models. It's not like being at Yale University, where everybody's trying to rewrite Scheinberg's fourth string quartet. So it's a very serious problem. Music is very, very, very difficult to write. So instead of talking about trends, which is disquietingly, appallingly conservative, only because there's not a new need for communication, not because of anything other than music is very difficult to write. Also, what has happened is that, well, let's put it this way. When I was growing up in music, we would hear a new piece and we'll say, what terrific material. Boy, that's terrific material. Don't ask me what material is, but you had a sense of the material. Now my students would talk about a piece and they'll say, what a terrific idea. You see, and I think for anybody that teaches composition, it rings true. What a terrific idea. And I could lately tell a certain part of the world, whether it's La Jolla in California or downtown New York, I could tell where the music is coming from, only not because of the material, only because of the ideas, in a sense, which is a kind of community shared. What we have really now all over, dramatized in America only because it's so large, not because it's more gifted, is this kind of folk music of different cities. What we have lost is the fantastic international excitement, the international concerns that we had in the 50s and into the 60s. Now, because of this, I decided to play a work by a young American. She just hates it when I would say female composer, by the name of Benita Marcus. Unfortunately, everything is suspicious is because I was her major professor. And I wish I wasn't, actually. And in a sense, I never really felt I was. Back in 1975, I got a phone call from Benita Marcus. And she asked if she could visit me, that she was living in Buffalo with her husband. At that time, Buffalo was still a very important avant-garde music center. And the reason she was in Buffalo is that she and her husband really wanted to go to Toronto because he was a classical guitarist and there was somebody terrific for him to study there. But being that rents and real estate were just appallingly expensive in Toronto, they decided Toronto was only an hour and 15 minutes away. She was going to settle in Buffalo. And usually I never saw anybody, actually. If they weren't interested in coming into the university, I, for whatever reason, I didn't want to see them. And there was just something about her manner on the phone. I said, sure. And made an appointment. And she came over, and she then entered and got her doctorate about 2 years ago. Now, if rather than going along with the axiom that something new is obviously something new, now that I'm in my late 50s, I could mellow a little bit and repeat Anton Chekhov when he said, talent is always new. And Benita is certainly the most gifted young composer that I know of, certainly in America. There are others. There's a young man by the name of Joe Kondo. That's J-O-K-O-N-D-O. And he's Japanese. And I would say he's going to be the Vaben of the 90s. Very strange stuff. Benita's is less strange. Her work is upfront. She doesn't really need dynamics. It's almost like Bach, the way the work projects itself. And I feel she has an exquisite voice. But most important, getting back to one of my earlier thoughts, is she has a sense of material, a fabulous sense of material, and almost a kind of Stravinskian sense. And she has an incredible instrumental presence, again in a Stravinskian sense. But also, important to me is her notation. Notation is a very, very serious problem which I felt that is only handled superficially. Evidently, late Beethoven never helped when he started to get involved with incredible detail as he does in his late sonatas. That didn't seem to really leave any influence. Her aspect of detail is actually, in a sense, quite uncanny, and how she expresses it, both rhythmically and on the page, is unusual. I think I embarrassed her enough with this lengthy introduction. Obviously, I don't want you to make your mind up for yourself. I just went through the list when I awarded her a big prize, and I had a very important New York South American composer living there now, David Davidowski, where I had to convince him about another piece of Benita's. And he says, well, Morton, I love you. If you say so, it must be there. But actually, it's an interesting confrontation, and I'm really presenting it more, not so much to the non-composers in the audience, but to the composers, to confront yourself, you know, on the tennis court with a champ that you never heard of, like these 13 or 14-year-old girls that are coming out of nowhere, you know. And the music is called Music for Japan. And she wrote it for one of the few and perhaps the best groups in Japan called the ARK, A-R-K Ensemble. And she was invited to come over there. Takemitsu, who's nuts about her music also, saw to it that she was funded to get there. And so it will be the ARK Ensemble that you're going to hear. And Benita Marcus is conducting the group.